Our learning will be for Refuah Shlema for Rachel, Rachel, Bas Margalit, Rina, and for Avram, David, Ben Esther. They should have a full Refuah Shlema, and also sponsored anonymously for the protection of our soldiers and for the safe returning of the hostages. We are going to talk about, in connection with Pesach, Minhagim, Chumras, and Hataras Nedarim. Often comes up that people keep certain stringencies, minhagim, chumras as we call them, and under certain circumstances, the question is, do they become a neder by them being just merely kept, or is it just, you know, an on and off chumra that a person can pick to choose when they want to be stringent and when they don't want, they don't need to be? That's one part of their discussion. And then another part of our discussion is, you know, if indeed it does become a neder, are you able to not need to be bound by it, or will you need to do Hataras Nedarim? And then does Hataras Nedarim also help every time, or it will not help for every type of neder that we take? So let's go through it. As a general rule, we have to be very careful with Nedarim altogether. In the very beginning of the laws of Nedarim in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in chapter Yordea, Simin 203, in the first Sif, it says one should not, basically my translation, of course, one should not be regular in Nedarim. Anybody who makes a neder, even though he fulfills it, he is called a Rasha, he is called a Chayte, a wicked and a sinner. And the reason why it is so problematic to make Nedarim is because, look, not everyone will maybe be able to stand by their neder. And as, you know, it says, there's enough things that we already have, enough mitzvahs that the Jewish people were given, Baruch Hashem. Why do we need to make more obligations upon ourselves? And of course, if you don't keep your neder, you're transgressing in various accounts of your of the Torah's requirement that you have to fulfill your neder. So, therefore, we have to be careful about it in general. We find in the Rishimis from the Rebbe, where he said, it quotes from the Rebbe Rishab, that apparently a person needs to be careful that when they have these chumras, that they should not make it in any form of a neder. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch in chapter 214 in Yordea, in the first sif there, it mentions that we have to be careful about our nedarim. Ha'reitza linhog b'ksas dvarim mutarim l'sag prishas. Let's say a person wants to act in certain matters to be stringent, making fences and separating from things that are not necessarily forbidden. He should say Batchila Hanahagase, he should say before he starts, She'ene Mekaba Olav Kain Benether. He says, I am not accepting this as a nether, I'm doing it, but not because it should be as a nether. And he should also say that I don't have intention to do it only this time or the times that I choose to do so, Velolo Olam, and not always. So that's the idea of saying Bli Nether. It's very important if somebody says they're going to do something, you should say Bli Nether. As a very generalized concept, it's important to differentiate that when it's talking, when we have an idea which is only mundane, so then I'm not bound by, if I say I'm going to do it, it's nice, you should do it, but you're not bound by way of a nether unless you say so. You need to say, I'm making a nether, I promise I'm going to do it, etc. Then it could be bounding. However, when it comes to a mitzvah, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, that even if I don't say that I'm going to do it as a form of a neder, I say, I'm going to go tomorrow, I'm going to get up early tomorrow and learn Torah earlier than I normally would go, and I'm going to, you know, do a special mitzvah or so, I'm going to give tzedakah, you know, something where you specifically, you know, say what your intent was. So those, that is a neder. What? Because for a mitzvah matter, even though it wasn't, the wording of the word nether wasn't used, but when it comes to fulfilling a mitzvah, when you say you're going to do so, it actually obligates you. So that is very important. Now, we come to what we'll call chumras and stringencies. Person on Pesach has all types of things he wants to try to keep. Some things he keeps because that was the Mesorah that was given to us by our parents or family or our own special chug. For example, you have the Ashkenazim, you have Sfardim that have their minhagim Sfardim, and Ashkenaz minhagim, and you have different Hasidic minhagim and stuff. And some communities, they have their own specific community minhagim. And you have, let's say, Chabad, there's minhagim that Chabad keep. You know, so we have to look at each case and understand the nature of how the minhag was. And as we will see, not everything you can just say, you know what, I don't want to fulfill it anymore. Some of them we will see that you can, and some you can't do it, as we will see right now. So let's go back to Shulchan Aruch, chapter 2, 14, in the first sif. It tells us a very important rule, that things that are permissible, however a person, and we know that they're not forbidden, but a person acted by way of stringency as a iser on themselves, so that is a form of Kabbalah as a nether, and you're not allowed to release them. So an example would be, let's say a person says, you know, every Erev Rosh Hashanah I'm going to fast. Yeah, there's no chiyuv to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. There's no obligation. But he wants to do it. So now he accepted, even if it was one time, that becomes a nether at that point, and we can't allow him to release it. If a person can't keep it anymore, so the only way to get out of it is if you have Hataris Nadarm, the three individuals, one of them needs to be at least learned, and you explain to them the problem of when you took the nether, you wouldn't have known under the current circumstance that you would never be able to fulfill it anymore, and then they have to release you. But it's severe, and you really need to do Hataris Nadarm. Now, the question is, do you need to do it three times or one time? So the Shulchan Aruch does not say it's needed to be done three times, even one time. One time, but you accepted it as if it's going to be a constant minhag or law that you're going to keep on yourself as another, so then one time would be enough. We find in the Shulchan Aruch of the Alter Rebbe in a couple places and in other poskim like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and some other poskim that some minhagim or nadarim can be accepted through acting in it three times. For example, Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch or Chaim Simon 249, Sif 13, and then Simon 468, Sif 17, there it mentions this idea that if you do something three times, it's also binding you. So what's the difference if it needs to be one time or three times? So the difference is as follows. I'm saying I'm obligating myself to do it, you know, like I'm going to do it always. So then we say even one time would be an obligation. But if I didn't say such a statement, but I'm just basically by way of my conduct, I'm assuming that I'm going to continue doing it. So even though I didn't say anything, I need to really do it three times. So that would be something that would then obligate me, and that's like a form of a nether. Okay, so now, once we're locked in a nether, as we said, the only way to get out of it is to do Hataras Nadarm. Now there is an additional point, the Shulchan Aruch there, in which 2:14 says, if that, let's say, a person made a nether, but they thought, not that they said, well, I know it's not an obligation, but I want to make it an obligation. So that's an obligation, that's a nether, and there's no, like any other nether, the only way to get out of it. Yes, yeah, so the only way to get out of it, as we said, is when we do Hatar and Nadar. But if a person says, I know it's not, I know this is an obligation, that's why I'm doing it. But in truth, it wasn't an obligation. They had this mistake. For example, they thought that there's some obligation, they have to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Let's just give an example. But there is no such an obligation. Some people do it as a nice minhag or on a yard site they fast, but it's not an obligation to do these things. So if they accepted it with the wrong mistaken thing, they think that there's a chiyuv, they have to wash their windows on Erev, on Pesach. You know, there's a minhag tov that we try to clean the house beyond the letter of the law and we clean it. But if a person is like, oh, I do it because there's an obligation from the Torah, I have to wash the windows or something, you know. So that's called a minig tos. That's called a nether betos, as the Shulchan Aruch says. That's a mistake. And therefore, because it was based on a false notion, the nether doesn't even take place. That's what most poskim say. That's the first view of the Shulchan Aruch. The second view is that even a minig nether betos still could be obligating. But the Ramah says, ha-minig kisvar rishona, that the minig is like the first view, that it's not obligating you. That when you made the nether with a mistaken mind, you thought it was some big obligation. When it wasn't, then you are, the minig is to be lenient. that would be a mistake, and there's no need to do it nether. And also the minig is that we can be matar nedarim if we feel there's a need. Now, it's important to point out that this is talking about personal nedarim that people decided to choose and place on themselves, whether for this reason or that. However, there is another whole concept of nedarim, which is basically mentioned in Sif Beis of Resh Yudalad, which is called Kabbalah Sarabim, where the community accepts these minhagim. They weren't made by a person or two or small individuals, but collective communal types of obligation. So that is much more severe. As the Shulchan says, Chal Aleihem V'al Zarim, it falls on them and even on their future children. If, let's say, there was a community, they made a katakana or something, it's not, we can't just go away with that. And then the question would be, can you even do Hataras Nedarim? So also, before discussing that, I want to also quote another place in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Reish Chav Ches, Siv Chav Ches, as it says over there, Im Hosa Haskama Geder L'Rabim. If the agreement was to make a fence for the public through some sort of stringency they're doing, O Sayag L'Torah, or a fence for the Torah, O Devar Mitzvah, they cannot matter such a nether. That's a very important point. So what would that really mean? What that would mean is that, as we said, if the nether was not done by an individual, so it's just like you can make the nether, you can do Hataras Nedarim generally. However, if the nether was the whole community accepted it, and it's something like a communal nether, so that's not something that you can get away with, to do Hataras Nedarim. As we'll give an example or two. I'll give you a simple example. Let's say kidneys. Yes, a kidneys is something where it wasn't, you know, some individuals decided that, you know, beans and legumes and stuff like that was some, you know, they want to just be extra stringent because maybe it's mixed with chametz or whatever. That was not a individual thing for some people. It was for like all Ashkenazim. So you can't just say, well, I don't really, you know, want to keep the stringency of kidneys. I'm Ashkenazi. Yeah, I think I'm good without it. I'll just buy a heksher of items that don't. You can't do that if you're Ashkenazi. You have to keep the minhagim that the fathers had received. And that's the idea. However, if we're talking about, you know, some stringency, Erev Pesach, cleaning, polishing this or that, or fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, those are unique, special, individualized nedarim, which can be removed if there's a true Hataras Nedarim. Now, let's also mention that there is sometimes people who are under personal pressing circumstances, where, you know, they really want the nether to count, and they wanted to count for always, but something came up that would be extremely difficult for them to keep the nether for now. So in such a case, the question is, are they allowed to break be lenient this time? And second question would be, will they need to do Hataras Nedarim if they are allowed to break it, or there's no need altogether? So here we have a fascinating Degel Marvava, back on Simon Reish Yudalad. He's commenting on the Shach, and he wants to say, he's talking about the Shach was bringing some sort of a contradiction, because in Yoredeh it says, in Reish Yudalad it says, like, if a person was fasting, they can't just break their nether, you know, they took it, they really need a real Hataras Nedarim if they wanted to break it. Whereas the Shach quotes in the laws of fasting in Or Chaim, he quotes that, you know, maybe if you have like a bris or something, there's a way to go around it and not need to. So he says, how do we put it together? So the Degel Marvava gives an answer, and this is basically his view, that when unique pressing circumstances arise, so that is a reason where we can. Where we don't have to keep the personal nether this one time, but we'll go back to it in the future. So in other words, let's say, again, the guy says, I normally will fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that's my intent, I always want to keep it that way. However, you know, I'm very sick this year, on this day, or I have a bris and I want to eat sus. Something, you know, where it's unique, it's a pressing circumstance, which is an exception to the rule. The guy says, I therefore want to eat this time. But it's not because I don't want to keep my nether. I do want to keep it. But this is the circumstance in which wouldn't allow it for this time. So the Degel Marvava says that you don't need to follow it this time. You know, you can be lenient and allow whatever, in this case, to eat or whatever the nether was about. You don't have to be bound to the nether. And he says you don't even need to do a Taras Nedarim because it's pashut, it's obvious that people don't receive Nedarim in circumstances when it would be that even when a pressing circumstance, they would say, I accept the nether under normal circumstances, not in pressing circumstances. So that's a very important Degel Marvava. And now, let's go to some, you know, Chumras and Pesach. Just discuss some cases. So again, there are many things that people are machmer on Pesach. Some of them are, you know, maker din takanas, like we said with kidneys. But then you'll have other types of, you know, stringencies. So I'll try to go through one or two. So again, with regard to kidneys, rova poskim, most poskim do not allow anyone to do hataras nedarim for kidneys. For example, the Nishmas Adim in Hilchas Pesach, Simen 20, Chasam Sofer or Chaim, Simen 122, they're saying that, you know, you can't, it was the communal decision of the all the Rabbanim, and it was like a nether that was done with all the rabbis. So in order to uproot such a nether that was done for B'nai Ashkenaz, you would need all of the communal, all the people of Ashkenaz to get together and all the rabbis to, in order to, you know, uproot that nether. And that's just not going to happen. That's not something we can do. That we can get the whole, you know, rabbis of the world to come of Ashkenaz and have them reconsider the nether. That's not going to happen. So that would be, so that's why they're of the view that you can't undo such a nether of that type of form. Some poskim said, well, if there would be a case where there's no other food, the poor people, they have no other option. It's either that food or nothing. So then they wouldn't really need to do a taras nedarim. Actually, I saw the chief rabbi of the army ruled that those soldiers who were in, you know, enemy lines, like in Gaza and stuff, where the first of all, getting food to them is not simple in any given time. And in Pesach, when, you know, we have to be, you know, where it's food is even more complicated, he said that they're not obligated to follow the stringencies. Ashkenazim, soldiers in the battlefield, don't have to follow any stringencies of kidneys, if that, you know, for, you know, the food that they need, and they have to be able to eat on the go and this and that. It's not so simple. And he says they don't even need to do hataras nedarim, and that would make sense under, you know, the rule of the Degel Marvava, perhaps also the what the Nishmas Adam wants to say, that, you know, if it would be a very pressing need, there might not even be a need to do a taras nedarim. All right, so that's what to look into, but the general idea is that if there would be a dire need, there's no other food, you know, you could probably, there would be an allowance based because it's a real onus. But otherwise, there's no room for any leniency. Let's talk one more minhag, which would be shruya. Shruya is the gebrochs, where you have matzah that was wetted in water. And so the question is, when did this even become forbidden or not? Well, I won't use the word forbidden. Well, when was it even written about? So there's actually a Shiloh Chuvash from the Alter Rebbe, Siman Vav 6. It's actually printed in the back of the Shulchan Aruch of the Admor HaZaken, where he mentions that it wasn't a foolish custom. It has a source to it. Basically, matzahs used to be made usually by the individuals. And at some point later on, a couple hundred years ago, it became more common that they would make them in, you know, factory style, and they were more thicker dough. And there was a concern that maybe a tiny piece of flour wasn't fully baked because the batters were more thick. And therefore, if you get water in it, it could be a concern of making a chametz, God forbid. And based on that, there wouldn't be any allowance or leniencies in places where, okay, so now, let me say. So now the question is, the minhag of keeping, of not having gebrochs, the question is that a community enactment or is that an individual based thing? So it depends. Some places, it was literally an obligation to keep the stringency of gebrochs. And in some places, some individuals are stringent for themselves, for personal decisions, but not because it's a communal thing. So there's a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe, in volume Orachayim, volume 3, Simon 64, where he basically makes that differentiation. If the acceptance of not eating gebrochs, matzah is what, was because of an individual, so there's room to be matzah the nether. If you choose not to be machmer anymore and you want to do a taras nedarim, you regret it, you took on astringency and you don't feel you are up for it anymore, so you do a taras nedarim. But if the acceptance was more of a community-based thing, like let's say you're in the Chabad, you know, we follow the rebbeims, the rulings from the Chabad rebbeim. It's like an acceptance that it's incumbent upon a chassid of Chabad to follow the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek's and the rulings and the Rebbe, etc. So in such a case, they don't have room, wiggle room to say, well, I'm not interested to keep this, because it's more like if you're a Chabad, you follow the Rebbeim's rulings. So for them or other communities that accept it as like a really unwavering commitment ruling, so for them, there's no room to be lenient. Now, of course, there could be an exception. For example, a person is a choyle, they're sick, and they can't eat dry matzah. They just aren't unable to chew it and swallow it. They can choke. Okay, for them, that's a real onus gummer. And for them, they would have a heter to wet the matzah and eat it, or crush it up and eat it, and then eat it right away after putting water or so. But that's not for like somebody who's like, oh, I'm just not so interested to be stringent anymore. That's talking about a person who has a real medical need. So there would be an allowance for them. So this just shows us that we have to be careful. We need to be careful when we say bli neder if we want to do something stringent and not to potentially violate nedarim. Hataras nedarim works in some cases, not all. We have to know the reason of when we took it. Was it based on a community type of nether, or is it more of a stringent personal stringency? And for example, fruits. Peeling fruits and vegetables, some people have astringency about that. Some people don't. They wash it off, it's enough. Some people, for Pesach, they peel and take off the skin of the fruits and vegetables. And again, that's something where you have to know if you thought that it was obligation according to the letter of law. So that was another betos. It's not an absolute obligation. It's a good thing to do. But if you knew that it was astringency and you accepted it by yourself, and then you're like, well, I don't want to do it anymore, or something like that, then that's not so simple. Maybe you'd have to do a taras nedarim, right? Whereas if maybe, you're like, I want to keep it, I'm in the hospital, and right now the only food can come is stuff like this, and maybe there would be no need to do a taras nedarim because of the degel mavav. So this is an interesting topic, which has a lot what to discuss, but we'll finish it for here.